Hour number two of 3D on this Thursday morning. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Rainy day here in Nashville. That's not a horrible thing. Shane Foster, been nice enough to come in studio and hang out with us this hour. Former Vanderbilt great, all-time leading scorer, all-time leading dresser.
So what you saying, he scored more than Willie?
We combined for over 2,200 points.
I think we learned the other day on the show that the answer is yes. Willie's 1.7 points per game average.
Yep. I was not ashamed. I showed you my stats. They're online. But, I was just excited they had them online.
Yeah. But together, you two were the best tandem.
That's right. That's right. Put me with Shane, we beat a lot of people.
In Vanderbilt history. Or at least for the sake of this show. Shane, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
NBA draft is tonight. Anything stand out to you?
I'm just trying to see where Luke Kornet is going to go.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think he's a phenomenal guy, great player, shoots the ball well, is a great stretch big, has a defensive presence, sprints the floor well. So I think he's very similar to Porzingis from New York, and they're looking at getting rid of him. So he could land in New York. Might be a good fit for him.
Well, you know what it takes to play at that level. What does he need? I've seen I've read things where he's put on weight. Obviously, you need that at the next level. But what do you think he needs to work on the most?
I definitely think his physical presence. He's going to have to rebound the ball playing the four in the NBA, and he's going to have to guard. Fours in the NBA, you got to remember, you got a guy like Kevin Durant that switches over and plays the four. You got Porzingis. You got guys that can really, really handle the basketball, can get the spots on the floor. So defensively, he's going to have to prove that he can play at that next level. Offensively, more than likely, and this goes for most rookies, especially if you're not a lottery pick, you're not going to get called on to score 10 to 20 points a game. You know, you have to go out there and be efficient, make the little plays, make the hustle plays, make shots when you're open, run the floor, get easy baskets, those kinds of things, which he's very capable of doing.
Now, do you think this year helped him in regards to a defensive presence? We talked about it yesterday. He showed to me, and I hadn't watched him as much as Willie, but this year seems to me he made more of a, and I wouldn't say effort because it's not like he didn't make an effort years prior, but he was more of a defensive presence under Coach Drew. You think that really helps him this year going into the draft?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps him. I know that the years prior to that, you got a guy named Damian Jones that was here,
yeah,
who was also a little bit of a defensive presence inside, which took away from his defensive opportunities most of the time. And especially him being a guy that plays away from the basket and fours nowadays, shooting the ball a lot more, that takes him away from the basket. So you're not able to see his defense as much. But this past year definitely helped him in that regard. He was able to show scouts that he can slide his feet, that he can come over and protect the basket and do those kinds of things. And rebound the basketball.
Do you think we ever see a center again in the NBA? I'm just asking because we're talking about these stretch fours, and I know these big guys, Porzingis, Durant. Back in the day, Durant 6'11". He's a center.
Yeah.
He's a center because it's 6'11".
The Sixers just weighed in and said, yes, we love centers.
Right.
Joel Embiid, absolutely. Embiid. But and we've said this, and it's no secret. I mean, teams would rather stretch to four with big guys that can shoot. Even Marc Gasol, Pau Gasol, those guys can go out to the three-point range or 15 feet out and shoot jump shots. It's no longer the Dwight Howard's back to the basket and trying to dominate in that aspect.
Right. Here's the honest truth about that. Mm-hmm. Most of the centers that are playing basketball right now are not very skilled. They run the floor, they rebound, they block shots, but their efficiency on the block is horrendous. I mean, this is not the age of Tim Duncan who can get on the block and get you a basket or a foul every possession. You're not seeing that. I mean, even the better big guys. You think about a guy like Steven Adams, for example. Mm-hmm. He's solid. But he's not a guy that can demand a double team. You don't have Shaquille O'Neal.
There's no Hakeem Olajuwons anymore.
You're not seeing that anymore.
Those guys.
So based on what the NBA has to choose from, it bodes well for them to get guys that can shoot the basketball. Because not only do you get somebody that stretches the floor that can shoot, but you also now have floor spacing. Now there's no defensive defender that's sitting there waiting in the middle of the paint because your big can't shoot from far out. So that changes the entire game plan. So mm-hmm. it's really, in my opinion, based on what's available to them. Bigs just aren't as skilled as they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
They don't work on it. I mean, that's the only.
Everybody want to dribble.
At the end of the day, everybody, you know, and I think the fans, the crowds have a lot to do with that. We ooh and ah when Steph Curry shoots a three. Mm-hmm. We don't ooh and ah when a big guy does a hook shot and scores on another big. That's not exciting.
Like, what is he doing?
Think about it. People have for the longest called the San Antonio Spurs a boring team to watch, mm-hmm. but they win every year. They're not out there Kawhi Leonard would dunk on somebody every now and then. Outside of that, nobody's getting dunked on. Nobody's shooting the ball from half court or anything like that. But it's great basketball. It's effective. They win. It's not exciting. So when kids are watching basketball and they're hearing the fans and they're hearing the oohs and the ahs and things like that, they want to do what's going to get that crowd reaction. Shooting hook shots and being efficient in the paint doesn't get that crowd reaction.
Well, that's interesting. In watching the 30-for-30 Lakers-Celtics, you had two of the greatest of all time on the blocks, right? Kevin mm-hmm. McHale for the Celtics and then Kareem. Very unique in their skill sets, but very efficient on the post. And it's amazing that nobody growing up says, you know, I want to – if I can do that. Because I still think if you could do it, if you are efficient, people will get you the ball, right?
Absolutely.
It's not like coaches are saying we don't want those guys. Mm-hmm. They're just hard to find, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And guys being able to catch the ball, there's an art to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult to catch the ball with somebody who's battling you for position on the block, to be able to keep that position and even be able to gain an advantage using your position. So that's something that isn't being taught. And then guards, quite honestly, most guards are not very good passers into the post, because not only do you have to get the ball past the guy that's defending you, but you got to put the ball in the one spot where the guy that's guarding the big can't get to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so now you got a double whammy there. You got guards that can't pass. You got bigs that can't score. What's the remedy?
You're gonna go a different direction.
Get off the block. Get off the block. Just let me go to work. I can, you know.
It'll be interesting to see if it ever cycles back someday. I hope it runs in cycles and that kind of player will come back, because it is fun to watch when a guy can go to work on the post like that. Shane, what was it like for you on draft day? I mean, here's Luke Kornet, and I'm sure there's a lot of guys who fit this category. Hope they're going to get picked. Probably could get picked if it's the right team, right time. But it's not a certainty, right? I know you were in that boat. There's been hundreds of guys through the years, great college players who have a skill set that – could work in the NBA, but it's hard, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the reality of it is the NBA has gone from drafting based on a body of work to drafting based on potential. So you got guys that have played one, maybe 2 years in college who've only averaged, you know, 12, 13 points a game at best, but they've shown spurts of potential. And so the NBA is thinking, hey, we need to get these guys before they get worn down in college. So you got guys that have an amazing college career, like myself, for example, averaged 20 points a game my senior year, All-American, All-SEC, all these accolades. I was the number one shooting guard in the country. I went in the second round to Dallas Mavericks. The reason why, the draft is more based on potential than it is on a body of work.
Right. So when you were sitting there in that room, wherever you were on draft night, were you sure you were going to get picked? Were you pretty confident that you were going to go?
Absolutely. I was sure that I was going to get picked. I didn't know where. There was a lot of speculation about, you know, where I was going to go, the different workouts that I had, what people were saying. I mean, the Pelicans now, they put it out in the newspaper, because I'm from there. They put it out in the newspaper that if I was still on the board at 17, they were going to pick me at 17. So I was literally walking around New York City the day of the draft with a New Orleans T-shirt on. And then they ended up selling their pick to Portland. You know, so, you know, you just never knew. So I knew I was going to get picked at some point. I didn't know where. And, I mean, obviously I was much better than a lot of guys that got picked at that point in time. But, you know, it is nerve-wracking. I remember sitting there, even though I knew I was going to get picked, the more and more you see people, you know, and your name stays up there as the next best person.
Right.
You know, I was the next best person on the list for like an hour. It's like, yo, come on. You know, so it is nerve-wracking, man. It is nerve-wracking for sure.
When you actually do see your name up there, what's that like?
It's incredible. You know, spent my entire life up until that point dreaming and preparing to be an NBA basketball player. You know, I dreamed about this when I was 5, 6 years old. So to hear your name called, to see your name on the screen, to know that you're a part of an elite group of men who have been able to accomplish this in professional basketball on the men's side, it's absolutely incredible. And there's not very many feelings like that. You know, most people don't get a chance to accomplish their dream. So to be able to say that I set out to do something, I dreamed about it, and it came to fruition is just a humongous blessing.
All right, we'll come back and we will tell everybody what you have up your sleeve. Absolutely. Your very nice dress shirt sleeve. It's going to be, let me give you a hint, it's going to build up this community, and then Shane's going to tear it down. No, that's not his words. Those are mine. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. When we come back, you're listening to 3D, 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt great on the basketball side of things. Shane Foster in studio with us here on 3D. I tease going into the break, he's going to build up the community and then he's going to tear it down. He's going to tear it down when they blow the whistle. This is just my opinion, because they're going to have a charity basketball game where the Vanderbilt legends, the Vanderbilt heroes, are going to take on the real heroes of Nashville. Of course, if you've listened to our show or if you've been around Shane Foster, you know he's doing great work in our community and is quite the asset for our city.
So he should double as both, then.
Well,
a Vandy great and a hero. So you can go on both sides,
you could
man.
Play, you could take the jersey off and switch sides. I don't know. So tell us a little bit more about what you're doing. Of course, you're involved with the YWCA and the men program. So tell us more about this basketball game, this charity basketball game on July 1st, which we may have a special guest here in a bit that can help.
Oh, we're
us
going
with that
to.
Too. Oh, we are. Okay.
So, first of all, we're just very, very excited to have Jordan Matthews, a fellow Vanderbilt alum and NFL great, that is really excited about ending violence against women and girls here in Nashville. This city has just been so special to the both of us. And so this is an opportunity to raise awareness about these issues of violence against women and girls and really understand what it is that we're doing to fix it. I talk about all the time the statistics that are glaring as it relates to our city and our state, that we're ninth in the country for men killing women. One out of every four women experience domestic violence. The YWCA in particular is literally the largest provider of domestic violence services in the city of state of Tennessee. And MEND is the program that we put together really to look at how we end violence against women and girls. How do we make Nashville the safest city in the world for women and girls? And so this charity basketball game is really an opportunity for the community to come out and be a part of raising awareness, be a part of what these great, great young men and women in our community are doing to really raise the awareness of violence against women, but also to end violence against women and girls.
Okay, so give us an idea of who people are going to pay to watch and pay money for this great cause. Because it's $10 for adults, $5 for children. And who are, let's give us some Vandy heroes.
Absolutely.
Who's that roster?
So Jordan Matthews, obviously, is going to be the captain of that team.
Okay.
We have Jay Cutler.
He's going to wear the C.
So he'll have the C. Jay Cutler will be playing. DJ Moore. Zach Stacy will be there. We're excited about that. Jonathan Cross, Chris Williams. We have so many Vandy alum. You never know what other superstars are just going to end up coming by. I got my ear to the ground. I think Coach Jeff Fisher might actually come through. So that'll be exciting if he's able to come through.
Is he going to coach or play?
Neither. I think he's just going to come by and just be a part
of
the event.
Okay.
I know he's here in Nashville and excited about things that are going on here in this city. And so he may be able to come out. He may not. I'm not sure. On the other side with the community team, I'll actually be the captain of the community team.
Oh,
so I'll be playing against all of those guys. We're excited about
so
that.
So are you a player coach or just
I'm
a
player
coach?
I'm definitely
Lenny
player.
Wilkins. You're going to be Lenny Wilkins. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't have this in memorial and me not suit up. That's not good.
So give us some of the real heroes of Nashville.
So some of the heroes of Nashville that will be on the team. We got Kevin Anglin. We have Ronnie McMahon. We got Drew Maddox.
Oh. See, you're smart.
Drew.
Okay,
Drew.
This is good.
You're
so maybe Shane is a smart
this was
GM.
Not a good tease. That was a bad tease of mine because you didn't tell me that. You said during the break it was going to be teachers and firefighters and police officers.
And Kevin, and they
and
are.
Kevin and Ronnie are teachers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
And Drew coaches.
Okay. And Drew is a coach. Yeah.
But and all of which have been involved in MEND since the very beginning.
Let me guess. Right. Aaron Kinney, firefighter. I mean, so you didn't tell me that part.
You got Shaq coming too?
Does insurance commercials call the general?
No, but seriously, we do have some firefighters. We got Metro Nashville Police. We got Vandy Police. We have a someone from the National Guard, I believe, is going to be on our team as well. We have a lineup of really community-focused people, people who are, you know, out here in the trenches every single day working with kids, working with youth, working with the community to make sure that we make this city safe for all women and girls and men as well. So we're excited about the group of people that's really going to be involved in this
so
game.
So is Drew Maddox going to be a legit player, or is he just going to be a trick shot artist?
A little bit of both. You know, Drew is
like
Drew
he's
is
just
kind of
turned into a Harlem Globetrotter these days.
But he makes them, though. Like, we'll go and play in the morning times. He's out there shooting one-footers from three. And I mean, it's bottoms. It's crazy. I wish I could shoot like him with these unconventional shots. It's crazy.
But make no mistake about it, all right? I'm favoring the Heroes. Okay, I just heard the rosters. I don't know about Jordan. I don't know Jordan Matthews' game. We're going to ask Jordan.
Uh-huh.
But I'm favoring. I've seen these guys play.
Uh-huh. Well, they're both the Heroes, the Vandy Heroes,
okay,
and the Heroes of Nashville.
You're
Heroes of Nashville.
There we go.
So the coaches are going to be of the Nashville Heroes, Bryce Drew, against.
Oh, wow. Ooh, pretty good coach.
Against the Vandy Heroes, Derek Mason.
Oh, Coach Mason. Oh.
Well, wait a minute.
Coach Derek Mason.
Okay.
I think Coach Derek Mason is smart enough to say, okay, I got Foster, I got Maddox, I got Anglin, McMahon. I'm good.
No, wait a minute. He's on the Vandy side.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Bryce Drew is your coach?
Bryce Drew is my
coach. Oh, my gosh. This is
stacked.
Okay. Yeah, your team's stacked, man.
I'm making those guys the favorites.
This is like the Jeff Fisher celebrity softball game. It's rigged.
Well, Shane's putting it together.
I know. That's what Jeff
We're going to have to ask Jordan. We're going to have to get Jordan in the next segment to break down his squad because he must think he's got a good squad.
In all fairness, Shane, if you want to rig it, Jeff Fisher knows how to rig a celebrity event, okay? So he can give you the ins and
outs. Coach Mason might need to talk to Coach Fisher
on how to rig your celebrity event.
But, Shane, this is the mistake football players make. Now, DJ Moore has got some game. I'll say this. He's a pretty good basketball player. Am I right,
yeah,
Shane?
He
can ball a little bit.
Absolutely.
But the mistake football players make sometimes is to think that they can beat basketball players, even if they're older basketball players.
Most of them played high school basketball. So it's
right.
not like
high
they're
school
completely
basketball.
New to the game. Like they played
right.
high school
So they think they have
game.
Game.
They go and play in charity basketball games from time to time in the offseason. So, you know, it's going to be competitive. Jordan has assured me that it's going to be pretty competitive. So I'm in the gym this week. I'm telling you now. I'm in the gym. I'm getting shots up. I'm on the treadmill.
It's only
I'm
competitive if y'all allow it to be competitive. That's the only way it's going to be competitive. After about 20 minutes in, the scores, y'all going to be about 15, 20 points. And then after that, y'all might let them come back just because you're shooting three-pointers, but then again, you might make them all anyway. So they're at a disadvantage anyway.
I can't wait to hear what Jordan had to say about
it. We'll have to see what Jordan
has to say. Football
players
don't want to take a pick, a true pick. We don't want to take a true pick, man.
And you better watch out for Anglin, too. Anglin will be setting screens.
Yes, he will.
Out there.
See,
moving without the ball.
See, when we set picks, like, if you don't play, if you hadn't played, like, organized college basketball or NBA, when you set a pick, On the streets, it's different than setting a pick where you played and know how to set a pick. It's totally different. Like, you're not running through it, okay?
If you really want to rig this thing, I've got the best rig ever.
What's that?
Send Maccabee behind the glass over to the Vandy Heroes. Put him on their spot. If you really want to rig this for you, send Chaser. Over there on the
we've
Vandy
seen
Hero
it before.
Side.
We've okay. seen it. Yeah, we've seen it.
He'll level the playing field.
What are you saying? I'm a baller?
Ballless.
Wow.
And I think it's time to go to break.
Okay, time to go to break.
All right, we will bring Jordan Matthews, and he will maybe refute some of Derek Mason's claims on what he said. This is pretty cool. Memorial Gym, July 1st. Doors open at 10 o'clock in the morning. $10 for adults, $5 for kids. Right?
Yes, sir.
Vanderbilt Legends charity basketball game. We'll bring in Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Jordan Matthews next on 3D. Saturday, July 1st, coming up just around the corner, not this Saturday, the next Saturday over at Memorial Gym. It'll be a Vanderbilt Legends charity basketball game. To help us with all that, Shane Foster is in studio with us. In just a moment, we'll have Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver, former Vanderbilt football player Jordan Matthews, who's going to participate. Of course, this is presented by Jordan Matthews, so he is a part of this. And, of course, all the proceeds go to the YWCA and the men program. You were showing us a really cool picture during the break of the incredible scene that was much discussed around the world here in our city during the Stanley Cup Final and the scene on Broadway. And you just see, you know, 100,000 people in the streets. And there at Bridgestone Arena, you can see, if you, depending on your view, you could see, I guess, the PSA you guys had.
Yeah, we did. We did a campaign called "Unsilence the Violence," and the Nashville Predators and Allstate came together and really blew us out of the water with how incredible they were with their leadership, using the passion of their fans. And you can see in the picture how amazing of a turnout they had for the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, like you said, 100,000 people were out there and in the midst of it. And Sean Henry actually sent us that picture in the middle of all that crowd. Is the Unsilence the Violence campaign. It's just an incredible way to get the message out there. So many people understanding that we as a city of Nashville, it's not just about hockey, it's not just about football or basketball or all the great things that are going on in the city. We're committed to ending violence against women and girls. I think that's a tremendous thing for the city.
Well, from that vantage point, where was Sean when he had – how did he get that picture? Was he across the street on the rooftops?
I'm more than sure somebody was over there with Luke Bryan.
I mean, what was he doing? Was he up there with Luke Bryan during the concert? I mean, what was going on?
You never know with Sean. He could have been anywhere.
Right. Well, you know, just – he has just been such a great leader, and my hat goes off to him. I mean, and the entire press staff and how committed they've been not only to give financially, but also to really put their efforts behind it. I mean, they've come out to our clubs and spent time with our kids, and that's priceless. You know, to have those people really put their passion behind this has been incredible.
Sean Henry and the Predators, as we have learned, they're not a group that's about words. I mean, yeah, they speak it, but they also back it up.
Absolutely.
And as we know, that's important. A lot of people just talk about it, and they don't follow through, and they don't back it up. It's just words. That's certainly not the case with them.
Absolutely. And so many others. And there's so many great leaders in this city and you guys as well. Every time there's an opportunity to have us on the show to talk about these things is greatly appreciated. So thank you for the work that you do as well.
Well, we're all about the community. We say it all the time. We're about what's best for this city, this community, and we're a part of it. We live here. We want it to be the best, too. We're just as proud as you and everybody else. So it's important to us. And we certainly applaud what you're doing, the efforts you've put in.
Thank you.
It's pretty cool to see a guy that had your talents and abilities as we covered you playing here and how good you were at your craft, and yet now you've decided to make this your home and be heavily, heavily involved in the community. So we're proud of you.
Thank you.
We've got Jordan Matthews on the line. He doesn't know exactly what he's walking into because there's already been a lot of smack talking going on. He is going to be on the other side. Jordan, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Man, thanks for having me. I know, Shane, that there's going to be plenty of smack talk.
Well, actually, we've also got Derek Mason, not West End Derek Mason, the football coach, but our Derek Mason. And there's been a lot of smack talking going on here about your team, about the Vandy Heroes.
Look, man. All I know is going to the finals, everybody thought LeBron had it too, but hey, the better team's going to win this game, right?
So what you're saying, you guys are loaded up, huh?
We're loaded up. We're locked and loaded. I got some guys that are ready to play ball. I got some sleepers. We're talking through some game plan over text, but I think by the time we get there, it's going to be game day. I think guys will be juiced up, ready to go.
Do you have to announce your roster beforehand, or when you say I have surprises or things up your sleeve, Shane, can Jordan just show up and all of a sudden there's some surprise roster moves?
He got 3 6'11" NBA players. Like, okay, let's go.
You know what's funny? is I had some guys from my team here on the Eagles that were like, now, Jordan, who can all play in this game? So, look, I could have brought Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz and all those guys if I wanted to, because they wanted to come. I said, hold on, guys, we're going to take it easy on Shane and them.
He called the dogs off.
Oh, man, dude.
I like the way Jordan comes
on. Stars out here, man.
I could have Joel Embiid. I could have had them all. But I just didn't want it to be that lopsided.
Hey, I wanted to come, man.
Look, man, it's Philly. I'm cool with everybody out here, bro. I could have had the whole squad. Trust me.
Jordan, I'm just going to tell you, though. I'm just going to give a little scouting report. You better extend your defense on the perimeter because there are some shooters.
They're going to try to be Golden State.
Yeah.
Okay, they got some guys?
If you haven't scouted them, look, you might need to take a look at some film.
They're gonna watch them.
Google, Wikipedia.
A lion doesn't concern himself with the opinions of sheep. Okay,
I'm okay. Shane, you're just gonna sit here and let him put this out there.
Shane is just taking this.
Round one goes to Jordan Matthews.
You know,
we're gonna triple team Shane. We're gonna make a teammate beat him.
Hey, if this is a smack off, Shane, you're losing, man. If this is a smack off, you're losing.
You know, one of the things that I always did when I was playing and guys would talk trash, I would start off, you know, talking a little bit, but the problem for them happened when I shut up.
See, when I
stop talking and that focus kicks in, you know, then we go back to Mississippi State. Then we go back to Tennessee when they were number one in the country, you know, and I just roll off 8 or 9 threes in a row. That's just how I get down.
Okay. I like it.
Y'all got some low post players, Jordan?
We got a few guys. I mean, I got some big bruisers down low. Wesley Johnson, decorated lineman when he was at Vanderbilt, a strong guy down there. The big dog Chris Williams. I mean, I saw him a few weeks ago at an FCA event. I think he got bigger just by walking past the bus. Hey, we was going to put him down in the post. I'm like, Chris, you stop anything coming in here, big dog, right? So we got a few guys. I think some guys will surprise you. I know I talked to Kerry Spear, one of the best kickers ever, probably the best kicker ever in Vanderbilt history. He said, Jay, man, I got you with the defense. I said, all right, brother, because I know he's good with his feet. So I think we got some guys that will give him some problems.
Well, what is he going to do? Go Bobby Knight and kick the ball up in the stands? I mean, what is a kicker going to do?
Hey, I don't know. He said he could play a little bit of defense, man, so I trust him.
I can see Kerry Spear being a hustling guy. You know, he made some tackles on kickoffs and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
But the question is, can you guard screens and stuff? You got some cerebral basketball players you're playing, Jordan, on your squad. Yeah. They can screen. They can move. I mean, they're going to back cut you. Man. Think Princeton of the 1990s here.
You know, we got, I mean, Andre Howell. I mean, Andre's a defensive back. He covers people for a living. We got DJ Moore, another athletic guy. I mean, we got the anti-social, Mr. Social now at Upper Fox Sports, Jay Cutler. You know, he's going to have his own face game off. He's going to be ready to go. I can be like, Jay, shut this guy down. He might not even say anything, but I know he's going to handle the job, so I'm excited about it.
So Jordan, tell me it's not going to be like this. I know you've seen the Dave Chappelle skits, Prince versus Eddie versus Charlie Murphy. Don't tell me y'all gonna be Charlie Murphy.
Now, Shane, I'm thinking this too. Football players, you got to make them beat you from the outside. I'm thinking a sagging 2-3 zone to start to see if these guys can Cutler shoot the three. We got to check.
I don't know. We're gonna find out. That's for sure. Yeah. And those that can't shoot will be forced to shoot all game. I can assure you that. But no, I mean, you know, it's definitely gonna be competitive. We're excited about it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. At the end of the day, you know, we all being athletes, you know, you don't want to lose. But by the same token, you know, we understand that this is a great cause that we're doing this for. And so we're excited for the opportunity to really raise awareness in the city and be a part of something that's much bigger than ourselves.
Now, exactly. When did this come about, Jordan, for you? Obviously, a lot of your attention had to be put toward your job there in Philly. But as you start to accumulate years in the NFL, you want to try to give back as much as possible. And now being able to do what you're doing now, helping here in Nashville, when did all of this come about?
You know, really, I would say, you know, just Shane, I can honestly say, the big thing that happened was, you know, me and my fiance, we're in Nashville for the off season. We're both training. I'm training for football, and she's training for a soccer season coming up. And then, you know, I got in touch with Shane, and I knew he was doing some work with the YWCA, and I passed it all the time on the way to my house. I'm like, you know, what's their deal? What is that? Because all of us know about the YMCA. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to get more knowledge about what the YWCA is. So I got to meet him, talk to him about it. But then what was really life-changing for me was when he actually took us to the shelter. Mm-hmm. And so he took us to their shelter where they end up taking in so many women who have been mentally, sexually, physically, emotionally abused. And then he gave me the statistics about Nashville and how that problem is raising, you know. And if there's one thing I've noticed, especially I've come from a loving home and I love my mom and she did everything for me. Also being in the position of being about to get married, I'm around a lady a lot more. So I start to understand their struggles, you know, in the world as opposed to a man. And one, I guess, consistent trend that I always see is that when men are struggling in the community, men come and back other men and women come and back other men. But when women are struggling in the community, it always seems like it's other women having to back other women. And I'm like, that can't be the same. That cannot be the trend in Nashville. Nashville's a growing city. We have a huge population. I think 100 people are moving there a day. And I think that culture of discriminating and women being abused, domestic violence, I mean, the rape culture on college campuses have been well documented, how that's been growing. You look at how many colleges are in the Nashville area. It's like, we got to get ahead of this issue on the front end. And just being able to talk to Shane, it was also cool how they had the YWCA, which is the reactive approach to women who've already been abused, but then there's men helping end domestic violence. So they have the proactive approach. They have men going out and mentoring young brothers about how to treat women, how no means no, the problems about abusing women and how you should treat them in the community. So I'm just like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if we could come together as men and say we are going to take a stand for the women in our community in a major way. And so once we came together with that idea, we were like, hey, we don't care if this thing fails. We know that if it's done with the right motives, that it can help us succeed in some way.
How about your quarterback in Philly? Can he ball? Can Wentz ball?
Can he play ball?
Yeah.
Basketball?
I mean, he's a tall guy. I mean, what is he, about 6'5", 6'6"?
No. You know, what's crazy is we actually invited Wentz out to come play basketball with us one time. This dude came in some Birkenstock flip-flops. I'm like,
yeah, that's a no-no. We can't invite you no more.
So that's a no.
But the thing was, he had a jumper. He could play a little basketball, man. He surprised me. I'm not going to lie.
He's a ginger. Is he a nice guy or is he a little bit of a fiery redhead?
No, he's a great guy.
Okay.
He's a great guy. Great person all around. Yeah, amazing person to be around too. I mean, honestly, you know, he even saw the initiative that we were doing, and he was, you know, most guys ask like, "Oh, can I play?" But it was like, "Hey, man, you know, I'm going to be praying for you. I hope your event goes well. If there's any way I can be a part of it, or you know, in the future or something, just let me know." I actually went to Haiti with him a couple weeks ago. He's got a heart to help people and everything, So it's good to also have other guys like this supporting me on this initiative too.
Jordan Matthews is with us. One of the all-time great football players in Vanderbilt history, 262 receptions in his Vanderbilt career,
don't
SEC
slide
record.
Don't
yeah,
slide
I slided a couple catches there. Jordan, before we let you go here.
I got 225 in the NFL. That's
yeah, there you go. I got the two numbers mixed up there. But, Jordan, tell me where you're trying to get now for your next level of your NFL career before we let you go, because you've done some great things in the first 2 years. We talked about Carson Wentz. You're working the chemistry with him. What's next for you?
You know, I think the biggest thing, honestly, is continuing to grow, you know, as a leader and taking that next step, you know, as far as a player. I've been in a position where I played with four different quarterbacks. Yeah, from Nick Foles to Mark Sanchez to Sam Bradford.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Carson Wentz. You know, so that's four quarterbacks in 3 years. You know, just going through that type of change every single year, I'm equipped for it. I played it happened to me at Vanderbilt, but I played at a time with six different quarterbacks at Vanderbilt, you know, which is unheard of. But, you know, I'm just really excited about the stability, growing with a guy and then just being able to grow with my teammates and just becoming the best player that I can be. You know, I know the type of player that I am, so I'm not a big talker. I don't like to throw out stats. I don't like to throw out awards. I just like to go to work, and that's what I plan to do.
Yeah, you played with the Bachelorette at West End. Yep. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jordan Rogers.
Have you talked to him in a while?
I have. He's actually doing a lot. He has his hands full. You know, he's one guy that I really wanted to be able to be in this game, but he's got a lot of things scheduled. I actually hit him up about doing this charity event. He was at a golf charity event. So, as I was asking him, you know, so I know his plate's full. I know he's doing a lot. But I tell you what, if I can ever get him to one of these events soon, we're going to get all the Bachelorette fans there, too, and that'll be a lot more money to the cause. So I'm excited.
Hey, Jordan.
I mean, look, dude.
Good stuff. We really appreciate you joining us. I'll tell you what, if you got the time, we'll work it out with Shane. We'd love to do this again for, you know, next week as we get really close, Thursday or Friday next week before the event. And we want to get as many people there as possible. And you know, we can have fun with this, but let's all remember this is for a great cause. And so we do appreciate you being on board with this. Best of luck, and we'll see if we can't work it out to do this again next week.
Look, man, I appreciate you guys so much for letting me and Shane come on. Yeah, we just want to invite everybody out. It's going to be a fun deal. Concessions are going to be up. Guys are going to be able to talk to the players. And we're just going to have a good time. But obviously, like you said, for an amazing cause and to support people who have been going through some difficult situations. We just want people to know that we see them. We don't just walk past them and don't understand their situations, but we see them, we care, and we're going to do something about it. So I just really appreciate you guys letting us come on and talk about it.
Jordan, thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, guys.
Vanderbilt football player, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Jordan Matthews, and he is a big part of this. He's going to be over on the Vandy Hero side. Once again, we'll get that info out there. When we come back, Shane Foster in studio with us. You're listening to 3D, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Shane Foster in studio with us as we wrap up the second hour of 3D. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you. Shane, let's get the word out again about July 1st, because a lot of people maybe just tuned in or maybe heard the tail end of Jordan Matthews. This is going to be a fun event at Memorial Gym. Doors open at 10 o'clock in the morning on July 1st. This is not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Is that
yes,
right?
Next Saturday, Vandy Legends charity basketball game presented by Jordan Matthews and the Matthews Mission. This is going to be an exciting time. NFL guys, Vandy alum, Vanderbilt guys, community people. We got the Vanderbilt Police Department. We got Metro Nashville Police. We got the firefighters. We got the National Guard in there. It's going to be an exciting time. It's really a Nashville event. This is really Nashville coming together to raise awareness about violence against women and girls and what we're doing as a part of MEND to end violence against women and girls and make Nashville the safest city in the world.
All the proceeds go to the YWCA and the MEND program. Adult tickets are $10. Children are $5. So how do people get their tickets so they can be there next Saturday?
Sure. You can go to our website at www.ywcanashville.com. You can get us on all social medias, on YWCA social media, on the MEND social media, MEND_Nashville. And you can also, we're selling tickets at the door as well. So don't be afraid to come out.
So you can just show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. I'm going to be out of town, but I'm going to buy a ticket anyway. I wish I could be there.
I appreciate it.
It's going to be a fun. That sounds like it. In all seriousness, when we had fun with Jordan Matt, I mean, there's some real ball. I mean, in all.
It'll be a good game.
Yes. This is
it'll
really
be a fun basketball.
Be a good, it'll be a fun game to watch.
Absolutely. We're excited about it. It's going to be very competitive. We're doing this for a great cause. At the end of the day, athletes don't like to lose. So, and I'm one of them. At the end of the day, I do not like to lose. So, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Shane, you know, can't help but see what's going on here. You had a pretty unique experience with your position at MEND. You know, you're studying these things. You're constantly, as Jordan put it, trying to be proactive. And if there's not a lesson being learned by a lot of people about what happened now going on about 4 years ago at Vanderbilt, I mean, it's unbelievable. We still see, you know, Brandon Banks is on trial right now. You actually had a pretty unique perspective just absorbing all that, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of that.
Absolutely. I mean, just sitting in and watching some of it yesterday was really a horrifying experience for me personally. But, you know, the reality of it is we're trying to build a culture where those kind of things just don't happen, that those thoughts are not a part of the thoughts of young men in the city. And at the end of the day, in the event that someone does stand up and want to do something outrageous, then another guy, another friend, another young boy, another man is going to step up and say, no, we don't do that here. This is not becoming of a young man. This is not what men do, and we're going to stop it before it starts.
I think that is probably the number one thing going forward, because it still hurts to watch these things go on, mm-hmm. and these trials still happen. It's still right there on the front page. But that is the lesson. If there were some proactive people who maybe had been through your program as youngsters, maybe somebody jumps in there and prevents that situation from unfolding. I can't. I've thought about that a lot.
Absolutely, and that's what we talk about. And David Williams, actually, who's the vice chancellor and athletic director at Vandy, when he came to one of our events last year, one of the things that he said is that if one of those boys would have stood up and, mm-hmm. and stopped it, then this doesn't happen. And the young lady is not a victim of domestic violence, and those guys are not facing 15 to 25 years in prison. You know,
it has to become a norm that somebody stands up.
Absolutely,
it's a norm to watch now. It's a norm to videotape it and laugh about it and high five your boys about it. That's what they see. That's normal to them. It's not normal. It needs to become normal. And men helps that. That someone comes in and say, no, stop, let's go, stop it. That needs to become more normal than what's happening or what's occurring now, because what's occurring now is normal to them.
Absolutely, and you hit the nail on the head, and it starts with the language. It starts with normal behavior.
Exactly.
You know, there's a documentary on Netflix called Aubrey and Daisy. It's pretty graphic. I think I told you to watch it. And you know, but when you think about the fact that things that are so normal, things that are that guys are doing out of fun, mm-hmm. can turn into a young lady being victimized. That means we as men in the community, we as upcoming young men, need to do something to stop it before it starts. And it starts with our language. It starts with our behavior. It starts with how we are amongst each other as guys. And then it also should move to how we hold other people accountable in our presence. Like if you're okay with demeaning and objectifying women and girls, we can't be friends, mm-hmm. period. Because there's women and girls in my life who I love and care about, and I'm not going to take for granted that you would say this around me and not say it to them. Mm-hmm.
July 1st, next Saturday, Memorial Gym. Please go do this. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's for a great cause, as you've just heard this hour. All the proceeds are going to go to the YWCA and the men program. You can go to the website, ywcanashville.com, to buy a ticket in advance. You can show up to the door and get a ticket. It's going to be a really, really fun morning, afternoon. Vandy heroes versus the real heroes of Nashville. And as you heard, it's going to be littered with names and faces you will recognize. Shane, great to see you. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck next Saturday. Hope you get a great crowd.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Vanderbilt legend Shane Foster. Appreciate him joining us. Third hour of 3D next.